Y'all asked me this morning if we had any trouble getting the hay cured. It's cooking. Cut it down, you can go back and bale it. If you can get it turned loose of the ground, that's all you need about.
Dig it word. My head on fire.
Yeah. That is a constant worry. Them hay balers every year bear and go out somewhere, and one of them burns up the baler and the tractor. So, you always rolling that hay up and you check and see if that smoke's blue or if it's a cloud of dust coming out of there. Man, won't jump out and run. Turn with me this morning to the book of Hebrews, the 11th chapter. We've been blessed this year, though we had hay to cut. Last year we got pretty poor cutting. The year before didn't even get the baler out of the barn, so I've rolled up, I think 120-something rolls so far this year, so it's been a blessing. We got some rains just come just right. We were kind of doubting it for a while. Thought, well, this may be another one of them years that we don't need to get the baler out of the barn. Anyway, it's been good. I would like to read three verses in this chapter. 11th chapter, book of Hebrews. He said, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the world were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. It's always been a puzzling thing to me. We think about substance. He said, now faith is a substance. When we think about substance, it's a substance. Everything about us is substance. And yet, the Lord made all this stuff out of what would be indicated as nothing. No substance. And when we talk about the things of the Lord, they are true substance, and the things of the world are just temporal. We may say it's substance. We have our substance. They're things. Everything around us is substance. But in the thinking of the world, substance is what's around us. I got thinking about this a little this week and went back to the book of Job. Go there to the 5th chapter. Old Job, he's got the good friend. I say he come down from First Baptist Church. Yeah. But when they got started, they didn't turn him loose. They worked on old Job. It's pitiful. Old Job, you've just done everything wrong. And that's what they were thinking. Lord took Job's substance away. Everything that he had of people and animals and everything else, and give him boils. He's sitting around there with old potsherd scraping them things in sackcloth and ashes. And here's these good friends come down there and they're going to cheer him up. But they kept tearing him down. And all they could see was this substance that Job had lost. Yeah. And Job, the reason you lost is you're not living right. Verse 5 and chapter 5 and verse 1 said, call now, if there be any that will answer thee and to turn, and to which of the saints will you turn? For wrath killeth the foolish man, and envy taketh the silly one. I have seen the foolish taking root. But suddenly I cursed his habitation. His children are far from safety, and they are crushed in the gate. Neither is there any to deliver them. Now, he's applying this to Job, you understand. This what happened to you, Job. Look at it. Said, whose harvest the hungry eateth up, and taketh it even out of the thorns, and the robber swalloweth up their substance. Although affliction cometh not forth of the dust, neither doth trouble spring out of the ground, yet man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. He's going to be in trouble. Always in trouble. But all these people that come down from First Baptist Church could say was, Job, you have lost your substance, and it's on your back. You undone. And oftentimes we are the same way. You know, sometimes we call a curse a blessing and a blessing a curse. Quite often. And we wonder. And really, we don't need those folks coming down to tell us those things. There isn't anything in this type of substance. So it makes men wonder. But Job was faithful. He is faithful unto the Lord. And I believe even at this time, Job could see a different substance than that which had been taken away from him. But the accusations are flying. The 15th chapter. I guess verse 27, he said, because he covereth his face with his fatness, and make collops of fat on his flanks. He's fat. And he dwelleth in desolate cities and in houses which no man inhabiteth, which are ready to become heaps. He shall not be rich, neither shall his substance continue, neither shall he prolong the perfection thereof upon the earth. Job is not going to do you one bit good. And he shall not depart out of darkness. The flame shall dry up his branches, and by the breath of his mouth shall he go away. Let not him that is deceived trust in vanity, for vanity shall be his recompense. In these things he's telling Job. I've always found that to be an amazing thing. If you read all the way through this, these friends can sound so good and so right.
Absolutely.
Matter of fact, if I get my old commentary out, a lot of time it'll refer to something that these friends said in the wrong way. If you go back and search it out. Yeah. So all they could see was that Job had lost his substance. And they didn't know all the time that Job had substance. A lot of times people look at us, look at our little church here, and say, I don't have much substance. Well, you're doing wrong. And in their eyes, it is wrong. We don't have a great big bunch of people coming. We don't have a big old church house somewhere. And all they can see is worldly, earthly substance. But the substance of the Lord is what is not seen. I don't know whether you ever thought about that too much or not. But that's where true substance is. It isn't in these things we see. On over in the 20th chapter. They talk to Job a little more here. Verse 17, he said, he shall not see the rivers and the floods, the brooks of honey and butter. Job, if you keep on acting like you're acting, that's what he's saying. You're not going to see these things. That which he labored for shall he restore and shall not swallow it down. Now, even though you get it, Job, you can get this stuff heaped up, but it's not going to do you any good. You're going to vomit it right back up. According to his substance shall the restitution be, and he shall not rejoice therein. Job, you've been measuring by the wrong measurement. You hadn't been acting right. You ought to quit that. This is more the pot calling the kettle black here, really, they thought. And they're going to instruct Job. You know, he offering up sacrifices all the time for his family and all that. And they're going to instruct Job with what they can see. He said, because he hath oppressed and hath forsaken the poor. Man, you hadn't been giving nothing to the poor folks out there. Because he hath violently taken away an house which he builded not. Surely he shall not feel quietness in his belly. He shall not save of that which he desired. Just go ahead, Job, and work for it. It ain't going to help you. There shall none of his meat be left. Therefore shall no man look for his goods. So that's a pretty good picture of what the world thinks true substance is. Now over in the book of Isaiah, 6th chapter, in verse 13, Isaiah's telling the people that really going to be almost utterly destroyed. But yet, there's going to be a remnant there, tent. In verse 13, he said, but yet in it shall be a tent, and it shall return. It's gone away, but it's going to come back. But it'll be work of Lord. Right. And shall be eaten, shall return, and shall be eaten as a teal tree, and as an oak, whose substance is in them. When they cast their leaves, so shall the holy seed shall be the substance thereof.
Right.
He's talking about soul. But gonna cut the tree down. But you know what? It's gonna sprout back up. And there's gonna be really be substance there. This substance is gonna produce substance. It'll be something that can be seen. It'll be true. Then reality, hope becomes reality, and there is substance there. This is going to be the reality. The Lord's going to raise him up, people.
Right.
May slay all of them, but there's going to be a tenth left, he said.
Yeah.
And they're going to be the true substance.
Right.
Proverbs 8 chapter. I guess verse 17, he said, I love them that love me. And those that seek me early shall find me. Riches and honor are with me. Yea, durable. Durable. Lasting. Riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold. Yea, than fine gold. And my revenue than choice silver. I lead in the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of judgment, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance. What is your inheritance?
Yeah.
Folks always talking about the Lord coming back and building the temple again. See, that's what they're seeing. You understand? They got to look. They got to see them rocks.
Yeah.
They don't see the true substance. That I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasure. They're going to be full. Running over, overflowing. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, before the works of old. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was. That's where the true substance was all time. Stored it in the Lord's warehouse. True substance. Go back to Ephesians, the first chapter. Verse 12. That we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest, which is the earnest of our inheritance, unto the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, in love unto all the saints, faith, you understand, is a substance of things hoped for. That's where he is, right here. Cease not to give thanks for you, mentioning of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. Hope becomes reality because of the Holy Ghost. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, then you can't see something. You'd be looking at all these other things. Being enlightened that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. So, herein we have true substance. We'll finish back up, go back to Ephesians, the 10th chapter now. Gonna go right back where we started. Hebrews. What did I say? Ephesians. Hebrews 10th chapter. Verse 34. For he had compassion of me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoilings of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. Cast not away therefore your confidence. That's what this is. Which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul, and there is faith and substance. And it is our hope. And that hope is reality in the saving grace of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Always amazed that say, yeah, this is substance here. Look at those forest fires and they burn those houses down, the great big old houses that are standing up there, and you look out there and what is there? Just a few ashes laying around out there. It's amazing. I just can't get over that. But it's really worse than that, though, because even those ashes are not going to remain.
Right.
When God gets through with this world, and I thought of two scriptures when JT was talking there. One of them in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 18 says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are unseen or not seen are eternal. And that's what JT is talking about. No substance in these things that can be seen, because they don't last. How many things you have, Sister Joyce, that are the same today as when you bought them brand new? Not a thing. JT used to always talk about his old rusty equipment that's breaking down all the time.
Still working on it.
Yeah, you will until the day you get to where you just can't work on it, because they'll always be breaking down. It's wearing out. It's not lasting. It's temporary. It's temporal. And that's all there is to it. Second passage of scripture I thought about when JT is talking about these people from, as he termed it, First Baptist Church that come down and trying to tell Job what's wrong with him. Well, actually, two scriptures. One of them, remove the mote that's in your own eye, the beam that's in your own eye, so you can see clearly how to remove the remote that's in your brother's eye. But in Romans chapter 2, he says, verse 17, "Behold, thou art called a Jew, and restest in the law, and makest thy boast of God, and knowest his will, and approvest the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law, and art confident that thou thyself art a guide of the blind, a light of them which are in darkness, and an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, which hast the form of knowledge and of the truth in the law. Thou therefore which teachest another, teachest not thou thyself. Thou that preachest a man should not steal, dost thou steal? Thou that sayest a man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? Thou that abhorrest idols, dost thou commit sacrilege? Thou that makest thy boast of the law through breaking the law, dishonorest thou God? For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as it is written." For circumcision verily profiteth, if thou keep the law, but if thou be a breaker of the law, thy circumcision shall become uncircumcision. Therefore, if the uncircumcision keep the righteousness of the law, shall not his uncircumcision be counted for circumcision? And shall not uncircumcision, which is by nature, if it fulfill the law, judge thee who by the letter and circumcision dost transgress the law? For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God.
I guess one time I failed to mention that is latter end of Job was left much more than the beginning.
Yeah.
He had a lot of substance, but he had substance too, other than that substance that the Lord gave him back.
Right.
Now he can see and he hears.
Yeah. Yeah, not only has he heard, but he has now seen, hasn't he? But, the Lord gave him twice as much as he had before.
It's interesting for Job, this week's bulletin, that sense of kind of sums up Job as everybody's always trying to hold Job. It's an interesting point that a picture of Christ, how, God, Satan accused God of sin because he was complicit in Job and gave him thanks for his fault, and accused Job because saying that with these things he they weren't there to do the worship.
Yeah.
And how the Lord kept all things, but he was proven just and his dealing with men.
Right.
It wasn't just a matter of justice. Of course, that can all come back to Christ who kept the law for us. But,
right.
Once this is a little different than you usually hear the whole story of Job.
That'd be interesting reading. In case y'all couldn't hear in the back, Brother Lane's talking about the bulletin from Shreveport. I think he put one up here on the table. So if you'd like to read that, what it said about Job, which would coincide with what JT was saying, it's in this bulletin up here. So.